Since adopting the Kissinger policy of engaging with China in the 1970s, our government has operated on the assumption that economic and financial relations with China would lead Beijing to liberalize politically. And since 2001, when we backed China's entry into the World Trade Organization, the pace at which we have given China access to our best technology, capital, and markets has accelerated. Yet, China has shown no signs of embracing individual freedoms, becoming a positive force in building a stable world, or reliably enforcing the rule of law. Instead, with our support, the Chinese have launched a massive campaign to become the world's leading superpower, with the clear intention of displacing the United States. Consider just a few of the facts. We know about the Belt and Road Initiative, a strategic undertaking to place huge segments of the world under China's influence or outright control. We know about Made in China 2025, a strategy designed to dominate key technology sectors from artificial intelligence and quantum computing to hypersonic missiles and 5G. We know about China's practice of forced technology transfers, requiring American companies to share their trade secrets and R&D in order to do business in China. And we know about China's predatory trade practices. The general public knows many of these things only because the Trump administration has brought them to the forefront of national attention. And, contrary to conventional wisdom, the ongoing tariff war is already paying off in the sense that the United States has finally begun to take a stand for its own best interests. As trends predicted even prior to Trump's inauguration, the Americans have been able to exploit enormous and growing bilateral advantages. As a result, China is being forced to work around constraints created by U.S. tariffs, and this has seriously slowed its rise. What would hurt them immeasurably more would be meaningful restrictions on their access to our investment dollars. The Chinese are estimated to have attracted nearly $2 trillion of American investment in equities alone. Beyond that, we do not really know the extent of our true exposure to China, because it has issued dollar-denominated bonds elsewhere in the world that are ending up in Americans' bond portfolios. Our investment banks buy them overseas, utilizing a loophole in our regulatory structure. What are the implications? Over 700 Chinese companies are funded via our stock, bond, or other capital markets. As of September 1, China has 86 companies listed on the New York Stock Exchange, 62 on the NASDAQ, and over 500 in the murky, poorly regulated over-the-counter market. Among these companies are some egregiously bad actors. Hikvision, for example, is responsible for facial recognition technology that identifies and monitors the movements of ethnic Uyghurs. It also produces the surveillance cameras placed atop the walls of Chinese concentration camps, holding as many as 2 million Uyghurs in Xinjiang. Both its parent company and Hikvision itself are on the U.S. Commerce Department's entity list, which experts refer to as the blacklist. Notably, Hikvision is far from an isolated case. While it may be difficult to believe, it's an empirical fact. The majority of American investors are unwittingly funding Chinese concentration camps, weapons systems for the People's Liberation Army, or PLA, and more. This is because the U.S. capital markets, which have roughly $35 trillion under management, have no national security screening mechanism. When it comes to screening Chinese investments in U.S. companies, we do have the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, or CFIUS, which was recently empowered due to enactment of the Foreign Investment Risk Review Modernization Act of 2018. Thereby, Congress expanded its reach to reflect the administration's justified worries about China undermining our security and stealing our technology. On the other hand, our capital markets are completely unprotected. As mentioned earlier, the trade war is already hurting China. And given China's unwillingness to play by the international rules, this is a positive result, which is long overdue. So, whether we're talking about the reshoring of manufacturing industries or the rise of more trustworthy regional trading partners, these developments make Americans wealthier and more secure in the long run. These changes in the world system mean that global supply chains are being rerouted in an effort to decouple multinational enterprises from China-based trade risks. But China is not simply sitting idly by as the United States and its allies isolate and marginalize its economy. Specifically, China-based enterprises are busy gaining allies in the United States through closer financial relationships. To put it simply, China knows that investors who own Chinese equities and bonds will increasingly see their interest as tied to China's success. Letting that trend play out would mean that the U.S. investor class would have significant incentives for undermining U.S. and multilateral policies designed to impede China's aggressive rise. Already, China's so-called business lobby within the U.S. is large and formidable. But that's nothing compared to where things are headed if Americans become more heavily invested in China. Yet most policymakers remain largely blind to this development, much as we were blind to the extensive financing of the Soviet Union by the West prior to Reagan's election in 1980. Today, China is playing the role of authoritarian villain, waging economic and financial warfare against the United States and its allies. They are simply more aggressive and capable than the Soviets. And just as before, the hostile regime is using investments from Western democracies to keep its system going. Notably, the set of investors pulled into China's financial orbit is both broad and diverse. This American financial exposure to China takes the form of public equities, private equities, and debt. This exposure ranges from small startups to industry giants to sovereign debt, and it involves institutional investors as well as individuals, with few truly appreciating the magnitude of the financial or geopolitical risks involved. Let's consider a few examples. For instance, Americans are investing in China's sovereign bonds. These are issued directly by the Chinese government, with the proceeds used at its sole discretion. According to the Prague Security Studies Institute, Americans are buying Chinese sovereign bonds to finance our own potential destruction. Today, this category is still small. The California State Teachers' Retirement System, for example, owns Chinese sovereign bonds valued at just over $4 million. However, the Prague Institute finds examples like this throughout our state public employee retirement systems and elsewhere. Now, consider university endowments. The University of Michigan has 44% of its $12.2 billion in assets in private equity and venture capital. Of the venture capital portion, one-third of the investments are in China. And the University of Michigan's investment portfolio is quite typical of what exists elsewhere. Given the fiduciary responsibility of financial managers at retirement plans and endowment funds, this raises some serious questions about prudence and risk management. For example, where is the disclosure related to these Chinese investments? And where is the due diligence on the part of fund managers and index providers? there are all kinds of existing investment policies and standards that prohibit the financing of concentration camps, human rights abuses, organizations engaged in espionage, and violators of U.S. sanctions, as well as specific prohibitions on aiding the People's Liberation Army of China. But those are currently being ignored. So far, we've talked mostly about private capital. But what about our tax dollars? The Federal Thrift Savings Plan, or TSP, the contributory retirement system for all federal employees, totals roughly $578 billion. It is the largest retirement fund in the country, with 5.7 million enrollees, including U.S. military personnel. Until recently, TSP managers used a specific index for TSP's $50 billion international portfolio. Specifically, TSP was using a Morgan Stanley Capital Investment, or MSCI, index, containing only companies in industrialized democracies. But in November 2017, the TSP board had the idea of changing its index to capture yields from emerging markets. In response, a Wall Street consulting firm introduced TSP to the MSCI All Country World Index, which includes China. For instance, it includes companies such as AVIC, which makes fighter aircraft and ballistic missiles for the PLA, and China Mobile, which has been barred from U.S. government procurement for national security reasons. As of this writing, the decision has been made to begin moving the TSP International Fund to the MSCI All Country World Index beginning in 2020. What's the bottom line? As documented in prior issues of Trends, China is waging economic and financial warfare against the United States every day. As we've also explained, the United States is in a position to prevail. But as with the Franco-Anglo-American advantage vis-a-vis Germany and Japan in 1936 to 1938, this advantage is fleeting. In the case of trade, we've only recently taken the field. In terms of our capital markets, we're not even at the stadium. Today, as in 1982, the United States has the leverage needed to peacefully undermine and marginalize a potentially existential challenge to our way of life. As outlined in prior issues, the growing threat is undeniable. The question is whether we're willing to exploit our strategic advantages to protect our wealth, national security, and cultural values. When weighed against America's other means of responding to China's aggression, access to U.S. capital markets is by far the most powerful and invulnerable to retaliation. Given this trend, we offer the following forecast for your consideration. First, early in 2021, the United States will act decisively to cut off China's access to U.S. capital markets, likely using violation of an interim trade agreement as a pretext. For domestic political reasons, both the U.S. and Chinese governments are likely to sign an interim trade agreement in the near future. As a result, stock indexes in both the U.S. and China will soar by 20% plus. However, China will not be able to live up to the agreement, and the United States has no long-term rationalization for expecting them to do so. This interim agreement could be signed almost any time in 2020. Second, a key objective of America's multifaceted capital market strategy will be disentangling the vested interest of the U.S. investor class from those of China. Other than private equity and hedge funds, U.S. exposure to financial risk in China is still relatively small. But it's not just a matter of dollars. Roughly 150 to 180 million Americans have investments in our capital markets. If these Americans wake up one morning and discover that 15, 18, or 22% of their retirement accounts are in Chinese securities, those scores of millions of Americans will have a vested financial interest in opposing any future sanctions or other penalties against China, irrespective of the severity of China's offenses or the overall threat it poses to America's national security. More than anything else, that's what China is knowingly working towards and what the administration must stop. Third, the administration will reverse the TSP board decision before it is implemented. As with the recent legislation supporting the Hong Kong protesters, this should not be a partisan issue. Even leaving aside China's brutal repression of its own people, does anyone in America, Democrat or Republican, want to fund the production of weapons designed to kill American soldiers, sailors, and Marines? Fourth, in 2020, the Department of Justice will increasingly use the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act to cut off individual Chinese companies from U.S. capital markets. Obviously, it is urgent that Chinese bad actors be excluded from accessing U.S. markets, or at least be forced to disclose their malevolent past activities because of the material risks involved. And when it comes to China, there is a question whether there are any good actors. Article 7 of China's National Intelligence Law allows every commercial entity to be instantly weaponized by order of the government to commit espionage, technology theft, or whatever else is deemed to be in China's national interest. That's a matter of public record. Fifth, by late 2021, expect to see a mass exodus of prudent fund managers and investors from China. New legislation is working its way through Congress, requiring the same audit coverage and transparency for both American and Chinese companies. This will be a game changer. Don't get caught in the stampede. Late 2020 is likely to be the best time to exit. And sixth, for private equity funds heavily committed to China, it's likely too late to get out. As the U.S. government implements its plan, the Chinese banking system will face an existential crisis. It's already becoming very difficult to get money out of China. It will only become tougher as the dollar-starved Chinese government puts more restrictions in place designed to prevent capital flight. Investors with large commitments to joint ventures should already be planning for massive write-downs.